Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. Hey, cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
I've never been more excited for a pick in my life. I've never been more excited for a pick in my life. Honestly.
I mean, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about you and your campy little 12-2 record.
That's more than campy now.
I know it is.
Yeah.
Listen, people, this is an elevation sensation, which is the actual Asian that started this. Oh, thank you. We are elevating Dan Dibley's status to like, normally we're like, oh, we'll do the pick, you know.
Fake.
At some point before the game starts, we'll do this. But forget that. If you like money, you'll be listening to this show at 4:50.
Okay.
Exactly. 4:50. Because Thursday night football is upon us, and my man is 12-2. This is not like cute anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, a nice little start. 12-2.
Ferocious.
12-2. You threw the Lions in our face on Monday night. And now two 49er division mates will battle in the desert. It happens at 5:20. 4:50. You better be here. The pick will be in.
Oh, the pick is already in.
Very, very exciting.
Yeah, I'm actually excited about this one. It's
me
one
too.
Of my, because I pick all 16 games, as you know, and this is my third most confident pick of the week.
Ooh.
So
ooh.
I like the pick.
Ooh.
I like the game, and I like the pick. So
I have a prediction. This is the way I'm going to start picking games.
Okay.
I'm not picking the games.
You're going to pick the pick?
I'm going to pick the pick.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're going to pick the pick.
So I'm going to write it down.
Yeah.
I'm going to write it down, and then I'll show it to you later. We'll find out if I got it right on what you are going to pick.
You're
going to
get this one right.
I'm going to pick the pick.
And when I make the pick on the Niner game, that might be a little bit more complex for you to pick the pick as we get closer to Sunday at 1:05 at Levi's Stadium.
Stock minus three, right?
Right.
Stock minus three for the Niners.
Yep.
Yeah. Tonight, the Seahawks are giving 1.5 on the road in Arizona. All right. So that's coming up at 4:50. Also, in exactly 1 hour, TK, that's what we call him. He's our friend. That's Tim Kawakami, SF Standard. Nobody more tapped in, dialed in. Niners, will they make a trade? Kuminga, how's the thing going to get figured out? Tim Kawakami, 3:15. 5 o'clock today, Adam Amin, Fox Sports. He is calling the Niner game again. He was calling the Niner game last week. So all those great highlight clips that you've heard Grandy play throughout the show all week long, Adam's going to line it up and do it again, but he did the Niners last week. He's doing the Niners this week. He knows the situation well. We'll talk to Adam. Other than that, we're going to talk to you. And a friend of mine earlier today texted me. And you ever do this? You ever do this with your people? You'll text something to your people because you're like, they're my people. So they will agree with me. So I'm going to text him. I'm going to be like, can you believe what Bob down the hall did? Can you believe what Bob said to me? And you text your friend this, and your friend is like, yeah, I would have done the exact same thing.
Oh.
So are you coming to me for support? Because I'm here to support you as a friend, but ooh, maybe not your opinion, maybe not your take. Apparently, I don't even know which Joe it was, but one of the Joes this morning got a friend of mine going because the comment was made that Niner fans absolutely would take Brock Purdy over Trevor Lawrence. And this friend could not believe that somebody would say that the Niner fan base would rather have Brock Purdy over Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence is the number one pick in the draft.
Right.
Brock Purdy is the last pick in the draft, which in theory says that Trevor Lawrence is much more talented. Brock Purdy has the quarterback whisperer as a coach, and Trevor Lawrence has whoever Jacksonville found 3 days ago as his coach. That's been his whole career. So let me throw this out to all of you because I want to run a little bit of a test based off of this idea, because I think that this is the absolute latest version of draftism, which is to say basically, no matter what we see and no matter what we experience, we cannot divorce ourselves from when someone was picked. I don't know about you, Dibs. I've completely divorced myself from where Trevor Lawrence was picked. Now, he is the best of those five quarterbacks that got picked that year.
Yep.
So he still would go first if you redrafted it. But is he worthy of a number one overall pick? Not in my opinion. Not in my opinion, not even close. So you tell me. I get what Trevor's been through. Multiple coaches and some of them with no clue what to do on offense. Also know the guy he's got right now is supposedly an offensive genius.
Yep, from the McVay tree.
Which is also kind of adjacent to the Shanahan tree.
Yep.
They came up together, and they do it really well. So, yeah, Liam Cohen, who says Duvall very awkwardly, but is an offensive mind. And so far, he's got Trevor Lawrence and his top receiving target batting about the same as Patrick Bailey.
Yeah, 2-1, though.
Yeah, they're 2-1.
Put some respect on the record.
But they're also yelling at each other. They've already had sideline interactions, barking at each other. Greg Cosell said to us yesterday, Trevor Lawrence on play action so far this year has been downright bad.
Yep.
So, Trevor Lawrence or Brock Purdy? In a vacuum.
Right.
What are you doing?
In a vacuum, you probably would, it would be tough. In a vacuum, and this is where I have a hard time with this conversation because you can't really do in a vacuum. And if you want me to do in a vacuum, then I'm taking Trevor Lawrence because Trevor Lawrence has been... His struggles, I believe, have mostly been a byproduct of his situation. He has a lesser roster. He's on his third different head coach. And, you know, he's had three games with the new head coach, who I think is going to be the best of the head coaches. And Brock Purdy, if you take him outside of the Niners and you put him in a vacuum, it's impossible to really judge him in that vacuum because he's been coddled. And I'm not saying it's his fault, but he's been coddled by the fact that he's on a really good team with a really good play caller and a really good head coach and amazing talent around him. And Trevor Lawrence has not had that. So it's hard for me to do the in a vacuum thing. And I thought about this on the way in. If you gave me Trevor Lawrence with Kyle Shanahan or Brock Purdy with Liam Cohen, I'm taking Trevor and Shanahan.
Okay.
But I wouldn't do that with every other swaparoo.
But that's what it's one way to look at it. What if you're just starting your team? Because I think what I got from your answer there is just you want Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah,
you could probably sub in a lot of different quarterbacks in that conversation.
If I had to draft the four of them as human beings, I would go Kyle 1, and then I'd have to think about number 2.
All right, what if we don't know who the head coach is? Which quarterback do you want?
Probably Trevor Lawrence.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. I will surprise no one by saying that I will take Brock Purdy, and it's because I'm not someone, and you know me, God, you love the pick, and I hate the draft. I can't stand the draft.
Right.
The draft brings out weird things in human beings, my opinion. That's what I hate about it. I don't have any problem with the draft. We have to have it, and I'll watch it, and people make picks, and then if you're from Philly or New York, you boo. And if you're from the West Coast, you cheer. And then you seem to forget everything that happens after that. And then you wait 2 years, and then you rip your team if they were wrong, and then you sort of maybe come around and praise your team if they were right, but not usually. You probably just forget about it. You lock in on those misses when it comes to the draft. That's why I hate the draft. It brings out the negativity is way louder than the positivity, and the stupidity is actually what wins, because everyone will go to the web the very next morning and go, oh, my team got a B-plus in the draft. And all you know is that there are seven names sitting there.
Right.
The way I look at sports, the second you're drafted, now that's gone. You're a human. Come play. Let's see it. I don't care where you got drafted. And I understand that a first-round grade or talent, if you will, what have you, yes, your batting average in the first round is going to be way better than in the fifth, sixth, or seventh. I don't think that assessing talent out there is a completely erroneous way to do it. I'm not trying to say that. I just think that all these things matter. Your motor, your emotional side, who you are as a person, the team you land on, the coach you get, the situation that team is in.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about Jonathan Kuminga for a second. Would he be different if he got drafted somewhere else? You all think yes, so do I. But life is life, and you end up where you end up. And at a certain point, that's on you. So, for example, if I hear another person say, all right, Brock, $53 million man, well, now it's on you because you make $53 million. So you can't talk to us anymore about, oh, I've got an injured receiver or George Kittle's not healthy. Too bad. You make $53 million. You do it. Why don't we say that about Trevor? Come on, $55 million man. Do it. They give you good receivers. He's always had good receivers.
Well, I don't know about always.
And I think he has.
You look at year one when they go 3-14 and that roster was terrible. And there was a reason why you went number one overall. It's because you were the worst team in football the year before. So we can look at all the different things. I do look at Trevor Lawrence now and the contract. Yeah, you make a lot of money and you now have a good offensive mind and you now have a lot of weapons around you. You got Travis Hunter. You've got Etienne. You've got Thomas Jr.
ETJ.
You've got everything you could possibly want and a coordinator and a head coach who are really good at what they do. So for me now, for Trevor Lawrence, I judge him differently than I did in his rookie year, for example.
Can we run a little test? We'd love to take your calls right now. 888-957-9570. Forget everything that's going on around them. You're starting a team. Would you rather have Brock Purdy or Trevor Lawrence? First pick in the draft or last pick in the draft? 888-957-9570. We'll take your reactions on this right now, and I'd really look forward to hearing from you. I'm curious how people will respond. In many ways, the question is, would you trade Brock for Trevor? Would you do it? Would you? It sounds like you would. Would you trade Brock for Trevor Lawrence straight up?
If I get to keep Kyle Shanahan,
yeah, it's just a trade.
Then, yeah, absolutely.
We're sponsored by the California Office of Traffic Safety and Caltrans. 888-957-9570, Willard and Dibbs.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs.
What do you think is going to happen in this game, Sting?
That's a great, I think it's going to be a really tight game.
On 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, we're having a good week. Today's going to be good. It already is. Tim Kawakami in 45 minutes. Adam Amin at 5 o'clock. Dibbs, the pick, 450. Don't miss it. The pick, 450. Fade the Dibbers if you want to still call it that. He's 12-2. You like money? You like them apples?
Oh, I love them apples.
All right.
Cash!
cash me out one time.
450 today. All right, we're going to take your calls here in a sec.
888-957-9570. Rain dance.
Let's see if I can split the difference a little bit.
All right.
I see a lot of the comments on YouTube and whatnot. And here on our Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line, we'll go to the phones in a second. Sure. Kyle Shanahan's presence matters. Yeah. Christian McCaffrey's presence matters.
Yeah, a lot.
It does. Here's another fact. Y'all are stubborn about draft position. A lot of you are freaking stubborn about what you saw on Saturday.
You sound like Kapler. You're so stubborn.
Dude, I know that Trevor Lawrence has not had an ideal situation above him.
Oh, you think?
I'm very well aware. But good Lord, number one overall pick in the draft. We knew about it for a year and a half before it even happened. He's had 4 to 5 years since then in a brand spanking new last year, $55 million per year deal. I would think that a lot of you would expect more from him. He has not been good. And that's just a fact. He has not been good. Would you rather hear Greg Cosell say it? Because he did. He has not been good. So a lot of you who think that this is some sort of, oh, we've got a crush on Purdy thing. Well, maybe you have a crush on Trevor's hair. He's not been good, but you're stuck because he was the number one overall pick.
For me, it has nothing to do with the pick.
Maybe not for you, but for a lot of people, I'm looking at these comments and it's like, I don't know what you saw him do at Clemson that gave you some sort of a reaction, but like, he's here. He's here in the NFL and he has largely, I won't call him a bust. I won't do that. But disappointing? Hell yes.
He's been a little bit less than you would hope. And I do think a lot of it comes down to where you are born. And he was born into Urban Meyer. And then Daryl Bevel took over. So his rookie year, and I'm just looking at it here, he got a chance to throw to a 31-year-old Marvin Jones, LaVisca Chenault Jr., and Laquon Treadwell. Brock Purdy came in, and he got to throw to Kittle, McCaffrey, Debo, and Ayuk. So, slightly different situations.
For sure.
He had Urban Meyer, who was an absolute flat-out joke of a head coach. And then you get Doug Peterson for a couple of years, and things are okay. He makes the playoffs with a slightly better roster, and now you go to Liam Cohen. So now you've got Liam Cohen, a guy who has never been a head coach before, and it's three games in. And I will not look at his roster now and say, well, you don't have anything. He's got a lot. He's got multiple first-round picks as weapons. He's got an offensive-minded head coach who is young, hungry with a plan. And so, yeah, for me, this is the year where you look at it and you go, all right, Trevor, time for you to be good and be better. And three games in, he's not been great, but they're 2-1.
It's funny. I feel like we do this every year. Okay, Trevor, this is the year. Oh, okay, next year's the year. Like, we've been doing this for three years with Trevor Lawrence.
9 and 8 years, not a disaster.
If we're going to only adjudicate what's going on around them, then yes, the Trevor Lawrence side of the debate is going to win. There's no question that Brock Purdy has had a much, much better landing spot than Trevor Lawrence. I just feel that because of those surroundings, we're ignoring some things that are very, very clear about Trevor Lawrence. You said one of them to me during the break.
Yep.
The dude holds on to the ball too long.
It's
the worst thing that a quarterback can do. Okay, his decision-making out there has not been great. I can give you tons of examples. If you want to make this solely about coaching, then why was Tom Brady good in Tampa? Why, like, are you telling me that sometimes the player, to a degree, doesn't help? And I'm not saying it's the case here, but doesn't the player sometimes help make the coach? Why is Bill Belichick, like, the Patriots and him didn't get along once Tom left.
Well, Tampa,
now he's at North Carolina.
Tampa walked into a roster that was amazing. They had an amazing defense, and they had like Hall of Fame talent around him.
And Tom is next level, maybe has a level to his own. I fully understand that, but the examples are often out there. We can definitely find more where just because your coaching isn't ideal, isn't a franchise quarterback at $50-something million a year, asked to elevate that a little bit. And I would ask Trevor Lawrence to do that. Dude, you were the bee's knees. Everybody knew you were the number one pick in the draft the second you showed up at Clemson and started playing. And then, well, how many coaches do we go through and it's not Trevor's fault? How about that question?
Well, how about we wait until we find a coach who's actually really good? And this is where you and I were getting into it on the text thread earlier today, because if you go around the league and you find established head coach who's been there for a while and quarterback who's been with that head coach for a while, you have 6 or 7 or 8 examples of guys who have gotten better, played well, and been successful. And so he hasn't had that. Brock Purdy's had that. Brock Purdy's never played for anyone other than Kyle Shanahan.
I don't disagree with
you. You and Joe Thomas both think that he's the absolute creme de la creme. And so Brock Purdy, he walked in and he got to play football around Hall of Famers and for an amazing coach who had been in the system for a long time. That matters.
It does. But
matters a lot.
It does. But it's also largely about winning. Like, I'll give you another example. What about Matt Stafford? Matt Stafford kind of had this situation, and he went to the Rams and won a Super Bowl. But if you do go back to his time at Detroit, they didn't win a lot, but he played well. His numbers were there. You could watch him and go, that's a good quarterback.
And he had the same coach for a lot of that.
He did.
Yeah, Jim Schwartz was there forever.
Well,
I looked it up earlier, and I think he had 6 years with Jim Schwartz.
Okay.
And he played well, and they didn't win a lot.
Who's a defensive-minded coach, by the way.
Right, and they had the same offensive coordinator for a lot of that as well.
So,
look,
obviously none of these things are the same, but you can bounce around the league, and I would just say, like, wow, I wish all quarterbacks got this kind of grace that it seems a lot of you want to give Trevor Lawrence. I don't mind if you're in a bad sort of landing spot, your organization's not great, you're in middle of nowhere, Florida, and you're not winning games. Okay, I'm not going to put that all around your neck, but he's not even playing well. He doesn't even play good quarterback. His numbers aren't good. He looks like he's getting worse over the last couple of years, holds on to the ball too long. The decision-making's bad. His coach is yelling at him on the sideline, and he's waving him off. BTJ's dropped a couple balls. Like, let's not make it about
a couple.
Yeah. He's had a weird start to the year. But
I think he has a wrist injury, but you know, that's if you're out there playing, then you got to play through whatever you have.
Trevor should be better. Trevor absolutely, unequivocally should be better.
Well, they're sitting at 2-1, so I don't
look
at... Well,
but that's this year. I'm talking about
his whole
career.
And the Niners are 3-0, and they probably have no business being 3-0.
He hasn't even played in 2 of the games.
Because he hurt his toe.
Oh, don't start that.
I just did that for you. He hurt his toe. He couldn't play through a toe, and they won 2 games without him. And, you know, last year Trevor went 2-8, and Mac Jones went 2-5. So if you want to talk about, like, what Jacksonville was last year, everybody's favorite Niner, Mac Jones, who's 2-0 here... He couldn't win with that team last year any more than Trevor Lawrence could.
Look, nobody's denying that the 49ers are a better franchise and are better coached than the Jags. I will freely admit that. But I just think that at a certain point, especially as you start to get 3, 4, 5, 6 years into a career, like, sink or swim. And one guy has done a lot of winning and the other one hasn't. And especially when you run it through the prism of where they were picked, it's fascinating to me how many people think that this is an easy answer. I won't sit here and tell you I think Trevor would stink on the Niners. That's not even what I'm getting at. But, like, once you're picked, now you're just a person. Come on in here and succeed. And so
for me, it's not about where he was picked.
I divorce myself from that as quickly as possible.
It's about what he was paid. And you could look at Dak Prescott, I think, as a decent comp, and even Kyler Murray. So Kyler Murray got to that spot where, do we pay you or do we move on? We're going to pay you. And, well, you had Kingsbury, and now you have Gannon, and now Kyler Murray looks actually better than he looked before. And Dak Prescott, what do? We're going to pay him. And now they've had coaching changes, and now they got rid of their best defensive player, and their owner is kind of a moron. And so every situation is different, and Trevor Lawrence he's not a victim of being the number one pick, and he's not a victim of his contract, but forget where he was picked. Now you're making this much money. Now you have a coach who's competent. Now you have talent around you. Okay, I'm not saying the first 4 years don't matter, because everything matters, but now you have no excuses. If you don't come out and play well now with Liam Cohen and Brian Thomas Jr. and Travis Hunter and Etienne, now it becomes more of a spotlight on you and your ability.
Let's go to JK in the North Bay. Hi, JK. We appreciate your call. What's going on?
So, I would take Trevor Lawrence, and a couple of reasons. I think his natural ability is there. I think you're not wrong in that he hasn't played well where he's at. But again, that situation, and has it gotten into his head where he's going into it knowing he's going to get his brains beat in on a regular basis and you don't play your best. The example that I want to use is Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield, most people would say, was a bust his first several years. He goes to a better situation, and right now he's one of the best quarterbacks in football.
Well, situation matters. I certainly would not argue otherwise, JK. I don't know if I buy your premise that Trevor knows when he goes out there he's going to get his brains beat in automatically right away. I don't know that Jacksonville's offensive line has been that bad his whole career, and I don't know that Brock Purdy's offensive line has been that great his entire career, I would argue.
No, and again, you're not wrong. And it's not just offensive line. Is it a situation where when you know that your talent is lacking and that guys are going to drop balls, and is that part of the reason that he's holding onto the ball too long, is when you don't have receivers who are on point and making that cut when they're supposed to and they're a step behind, that puts you behind. And we've talked about this, or you guys have talked about this, you know, that's a Shanahan thing. Everything is system, and you know, you count to here and the ball comes out, and that's when it works. And when you're in a system where that doesn't apply because people aren't doing their jobs the right way, it puts the quarterback in a situation. Now, I've done a little quarterback coaching at the high school level, so I'm not saying I'm an expert, but I do know that that attitude goes a long ways. And when you feel like your guys have your back, you play better. You will run through a wall for your guys. And when you don't feel that they do, and they're just out there going through the motions, you end up being the same way.
But do we have evidence that that's what it's like in Jacksonville? Like that the guys don't have his back and they're not playing hard for him?
Well, I'm going to say when you have a quarterback and a coach going at each other, it tells you that there's definitely an attitude problem.
Huh. Okay. Hey, JK, thanks for the call,
thanks,
man.
JK.
Yeah, really appreciate it.
I just look at the ever-changing situation that he's been in, and if he and Liam Cohen are going back and forth at each other, and I didn't see the clip, I don't even know what that
was
looked like.
It was one time.
Grown men playing professional tackle football. And
he blew him off.
Right. He's three games into it.
Yeah.
I'm sure, Trevor's out there trying to do what he can do, and interesting about him holding the ball too long because Brock Purdy has a higher sack percentage than Trevor Lawrence mm-hmm. on dropbacks. Now, Lawrence is asked to do a lot more. He's asked to throw it a lot more often regularly than Brock Purdy has in his career, so you would figure his sack percentage would be higher, and it's in fact lower.
Yeah, they both move well. Trevor's obviously got a stronger arm, but that's part of kind of what I'm getting at. Boy, do we fall in love with this stuff. You know whose name should come up today? And it always comes up in this situation. Actually, there's two options I could bring up. But, like, the falling in love with measurables leads you to Jeff George and Jamarcus Russell.
Yeah.
Like, why? You know, someone just said, you know, oh, you're in Kyle's offense, and therefore we know how that offense runs, and it's based on a quarterback being able to see it and anticipate. Well, okay, that's a skill. And quite frankly, I would take that as my number one skill for any quarterback I draft. You can have Johnny Strongarm. Give me the guy who sees it. That's what I want. I want the guy who sees it. Now, the best quarterback is the one who does both.
Sure.
Obviously. But to me, if we just...
Maybe Josh Allen, probably.
Yeah, if we spotlight that characteristic, to me, that's where my head goes. If I can only have one, and I got a quarterback who sees it, and I got a quarterback who's got all the measurables, give me the quarterback who sees it. And I think Brock sees it better than Trevor.
Probably, but I think that Trevor Lawrence is in a spot where he's now in his third or fourth system in his fifth year, and he's probably trying to figure out what this new offense is going to be and the way Liam Cohen runs it, which is ironically, or coincidentally rather, a lot like what Shanahan runs. And he comes from the Rams tree. He also spent time in Minnesota. And so these offenses now are becoming much more copycat. And if you're Trevor Lawrence, you're running a whole different scheme than what you ran before with Doug Peterson. Certainly what you had back when Urban Meyer was your coach. So he comes up with Urban Meyer. And this is why I made the Alex Smith comp on our text thread.
This is an interesting player
Alex
to talk
Smith
about here.
Alex Smith went from Mike Nolan to Jimmy Tomsula.
Good Lord.
And then he went to Mike Singletary, and then he got to Jim Harbaugh. And if you think about those four, six different coordinators in 7 years and all these different schemes,
right,
it's hard to get comfortable.
So which one of them is a good quarterback coach?
Of all those guys?
Yeah.
None of them.
None of them? Wait a minute.
Harbaugh had Greg Roman. So Greg Roman is the offensive coordinator. Well,
Jim's a quarterback. I mean, like...
Right, but if you remember the way the Niners ran their offense when he started with the 49ers, it was like... Hand the ball off.
They like to run the ball a lot, no doubt. Right. But Jim Harbaugh also famously said just 2 weeks ago, my job here with the Chargers is to get Justin Herbert into the Hall of Fame. He does. He has a very good resume.
But Greg Roman was an awesome offensive coordinator. Yeah. And the other ones he had were Jimmy Ray, who was a guy who ran a bed and breakfast. And we can run through all the rest of the names. I can't even think of them all off the top of my head.
Larger point, though, is that Jim's a good coach.
Yes,
and what did Jim, exactly. What did Jim do with Alex Smith?
Jim got Alex Smith to a point where he was good. Alex got hurt, and he replaced him with Kaepernick, and then you're off to Kansas City.
They benched him.
And my point was when he went to Kansas City, and you know Mahomes wasn't yet Mahomes, Andy Reid took Alex Smith and figured out how to make him not great, but good.
Yeah, Alex is a good quarterback.
Right.
I always thought Alex had
the
opportunity
to be
good.
And he was better when he had good coaches, is my point.
Yes, of course.
And that's 100%. My point about Trevor Lawrence, is he hasn't had that really... Up until now, like Doug Peterson's been a good coordinator.
Right.
Last year that he got hurt and that whole thing went sideways.
I mean, wasn't Doug Peterson the coach who somehow got Nick Foles to be a Super Bowl winning quarterback?
Yeah.
Same guy, right?
And also, as I went through my deep dive on coordinators and coaches, Doug Peterson's been a coordinator forever.
Yeah.
But last year, Lawrence got hurt and they were terrible. And then Mac Jones came in and they were still bad.
Yeah. I mean, D. Lou has been giving it to me on YouTube all day and said, in all caps, Mac Jones would have a great career under Kyle Shanahan. Disagree. I mean, I know you're all excited because he went 2-0. They won 16-15. I don't know what it is you've seen the last 2 weeks from Mac Jones that suggests. Wow, we're talking Pro Bowl level dog now. If he had a full year with Kyle, disagree hardcore. Can he win some football games? Yes. High level backup, sure. Great career. Calm down.
Would they be 3-0 if he started all three games?
Don't know.
I mean,
don't know. That definitely was the hardest assignment of the three. Would you not agree? Week one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
At Seattle in the opener.
Yeah,
sure.
It's the hardest assignment of the three. How about this one, 650? I really want to address this and see what you think. And you can weigh in. Would you trade Brock Purdy for Trevor Lawrence if you could? Mythical conversation, obviously. But 650 says, I hardly, all caps, ever call someone a homer. But you saying you'd rather have Purdy over Lawrence? Definition of a homer or delusional. I don't know who you think you're homering for, Willard, but it ain't us Niner fans with that take. LOL. All right, here's my question for you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What would it take for you to get to the point where you're like, maybe Trevor Lawrence wasn't worth the number one overall pick in the draft?
What does that matter, though?
It matters to this conversation because...
Well, it doesn't because the Niners took Trey Lance at number three in that same draft.
Well, so why don't all of you still cape up for him, by the way?
Cape up for Trey Lance?
Yes.
He's shown himself to not be... capable in multiple systems.
Has he? I thought he hasn't gotten a chance. That's what I'm told on the internet. He hasn't even barely played in this league.
That's fine, but no team that he's been on has looked at him and go, whoa, Shanahan missed on this one.
Well, but the point is that if you're going to go by measurables, there's nothing you can fall in love with Trevor other than measurables. I'm with you that you can feel sympathy for the landing spot and the situation. But what I want to know is, what do all of you football experts see when you break down the film? that suggests, no, Trevor is a great quarterback. You haven't seen it. And the only reason you feel that way is because draftism. Number one pick in the draft. And I swear I'm going to put my flag here and I won't leave no matter how much evidence I get. I'm not saying he sucks. He's not the worst quarterback in the league. And I'm certainly not saying he wouldn't be better in San Francisco. But good Lord, you've got a QB who's taken you to multiple NFC title games and a Super Bowl. And y'all want to flick him for somebody who was the number one pick in the draft, who has shown through 5 years to have major limitations with his decision-making on the field.
Your use of taken you is, I think, an over-dramatization. Because,
why?
Because he's been around an amazing team, and Trevor Lawrence has not. So you can flick now, off Trevor Lawrence as being not very good
now
because
we're back to Purdy
he has
being
to throw
dragged?
To LaVisca Chenault.
Are we back to
so
Purdy being
Purdy
dragged?
Has to throw to Kittle and McCaffrey and Ayuk and Debo, all of whom are making 8 to 9-figure salaries, and you're going to say that he took them. Yeah, he's the quarterback, and you get credit for that. But Trevor Lawrence has been playing with guys who most of us have never heard of the majority of his career.
Well, that's not true.
Well, you play. You're in 5 fantasy football leagues. So
yeah.
LaVisca Chenault.
That was his rookie year.
888-957-9570.
That was his rookie year. How about Calvin Ridley? How about Christian Kirk? How about Brian Thomas Jr.? These are good.
Zay Jones and Evan Ingram,
Evan
who's
Ingram.
Never had the year that he had with Trevor Lawrence. So what's Evan Ingram doing now?
Evan Ingram's a
not
good
a
player. He's hurt.
Right, but even beyond that, he had 73 catches.
Evan Ingram's
with
a good
Trevor
player.
Lawrence.
Yeah.
So Trevor Lawrence gets credit for that, and he took a team that was really bad, and he took them to a 9-8 record, and then they went 9-8 again.
Again, if we want to get to the end of the year and simply do that, like we're going to grab the tight ends' catches. And we're going to say he took this team to 9-8. If he took them to 9-8, then Brock Purdy took them to 12-5.
Exactly. And I would say him taking them to 9-8 is more impressive than Brock Purdy taking that team to 12-5.
And I don't think that's a crazy take, but what I'm more talking about is the actual decision-making that we see on film. And Greg said it to us yesterday. That's, to me, forget my take. Forget my take. Lucas, text Greg. Ask who's a better quarterback. Who's performing better as an NFL quarterback? I already know who he'll say.
And again, who's performing better, that is within the system. And Greg has told us many times that they're all system quarterbacks. So why don't we wait and give Trevor Lawrence a year with Liam Cohen, and then you...
Sorry, I'm laughing.
Did I miss something?
No, Lucas said there's no way in hell Greg would answer that question. His head would probably pop off and roll down the street. That's probably true.
Yeah, and to me, it's fair to look at what the quarterback is doing within the construct of the system.
Of course,
and so
it
now
is.
He's got 3 games with Liam Cohen, and it's not been absolutely super smooth so far through 3 games. And Brock Purdy now is in year 4 with Kyle Shanahan, and Kyle Shanahan's been there for 9, and he's got Hall of Famers. I don't know who on the Jacksonville Jaguars is a Hall of Famer. Anybody on that offense?
Anybody on that offense who's a Hall of
probably
Famer.
Not a one.
No.
Not a
no,
one.
No, because you have to be good and win.
Because they're all 23 years old.
No, because they have an underperforming quarterback.
Because they've got a bunch of second and third year guys, and they're all trying to figure it out together.
Yeah, they always have second and third year guys because they're always not good because they have an underperforming quarterback.
There you go.
We're brought to you by Premont Bank, here for you, here for good, sponsored by Ceramani Ford. We'll keep taking your calls and Tim Kawakami in 20 minutes on Willard and Dibs.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.